We're here at Romans chapter 5. Last time we looked here at chapter 4 and what is Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, what has he found? What shall we say? Well, in regards to the flesh, he's not found anything. Because there's nothing, anything that man could work for, no righteousness that a man can gain for himself. We are justified by faith. It says here in the latter part of the chapter, in verse number 22 of chapter 4, therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for all, us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, the Father, or God Almighty, who was delivered for our offenses, the Lord Jesus Christ was, and raised again for our justification. Had the Lord not raised, we could not be justified by him. Therefore, we come to chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, this justification brings great peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed the intermediary, the mediator, the intercessor, our Savior, our Redeemer. And that we have peace. All things that would bring the wrath and anger of our Lord towards us have been taken care of by Jesus Christ. He, our Father, if you will, sees Christ when he looks at us. The salvation is that good. Even the forgiveness of sins, as we have seen here recently. By whom, verse 2, also we have access, that is admission, by faith into this grace wherein we stand. This favor, it comes to us from our Lord. It is free. And it says here, by whom also, by Jesus, we have access by faith, admission by faith into this grace, this favor wherein we stand. We stand in the grace of the Lord, don't we? We need his grace upon us. We do. And we look to Christ for it all. And also we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that, don't we? When we talk, I mean, do you ever hear anybody talk about the life to come? And the new world and the glory that we'll be partakers of, and the more and more you talk about that, the sadder and sadder they get. I mean, is that the way? Do you look at it that way? Something's wrong if you look at it that way. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and we look to be with our Savior and see him face to face. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Ooh, now that one's a little harder. Glory in tribulations. You know, what I need to adapt is when there's a trial, when there's a temptation, the trying of my faith, or even a temptation from Satan, and by which we can escape, by which we can resist by obedience to our Lord. We need to know that these trials, these testings of our Lord, and even the correct dealing with being tempted by Satan in the world, if we obey our Lord, there is help and there is growth and there is blessing in that. We're going to be tempted and tried. It's going to be. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, and that's the trial of our faith. It works patience, we're told in another place in the Scriptures. Verse 3, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Why is it that we would glory in a trial? Because, see, that's the opportunity for there to be the power of God. If there is no resistance to our walk in this world, we feel very self-sufficient, don't we? We've got it all together. We walk along and everything's good and golden, and the roses are nice, and the wind is blowing softly through the grass, and everything's just peaceful and sweet, and we're doing just a fine job. But when we run into something that we can't deal with, we don't need to fret and fume and carry on and fuss and murmur and complain, but we need to know that in that tribulation we say, Lord, okay, this I cannot do. This I cannot deal with. It's an opportunity for you to show your power. help me, right? We've been given that avenue of prayer. We have the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for us. We not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, right? Just like James tells us, it worketh that a cheerful endurance and continuance, right? That's that word patience. We rest in the Lord. It's not going good for the flesh. It's inconvenient for the flesh. But we know that the Lord will help us. He's told us he'll never leave us or forsake us, right? Have I got that right in the scripture? That's what he said. Lord, help us to remember it, right? Lord, help me to remember it. And then here's the growth. There's always progression. There's always growth. Patience. Tribulation works patience. We won't have patience without tribulation. We spend most of our time waiting on the help, deliverance, answer of the Lord. And patience, it works experience. I've seen the Lord work after this kind. I've seen the Lord deliver after this kind, right? Isn't that some of the wording of the scripture? We've seen the Lord, we have experience. Our Lord, you know, remember when our Lord dealt with this? I think he can handle this. This is what we're in right now, can he? Patience worketh experience. And look what happens. And experience, it worketh hope. Remember, hope in the scripture is not hope, so lottery kind of hope. You buy the ticket. Well, I hope you don't buy the ticket. One would buy the ticket, and we hope that the big payday comes in. All the numbers come up, so I'm told. All the numbers, and it's not that kind of hope. The Lord's hope is a no-so hope based on a promise from the Lord. He will do it. He will do it. And there's hope in his promises. Is he going to take us on to be with him? Is he ever going to leave us or forsake us? Will he not put anything more on us than we can bear? Right? Isn't that what he says? Do we believe him? It comes back to faith. It all comes back to faith, doesn't it? And our rest in the Lord. Patience works experience. Experience, hope. And hope, verse 5, maketh not ashamed. There's no disgrace. There's no blush. There's no confounding. See, when Paul and Silas were put in jail in Philippi, it was the prime opportunity for our brethren to get the molly grubs and be down and out and saying, woe is me, God is not with us. Wasn't it? But what were they found doing? They like we hear about the apostles, that they counted it a joy to suffer for Christ's sake. To be, they were treated shamefully. They were done wrong. They were Romans. That should have not been done to them. And the Apostle Paul makes that point a little bit later on when it's more convenient to do so. But that would have been a time, but what are they found? Praying and singing to the salvation of the jailer, which very well couldn't have been reached any other way from the human standpoint. And maybe even the salvation of some of their, those who were in jail with them. Hope maketh not ashamed, because we know the Lord's in control and he will help us. And we pray that our Lord will work in us. And isn't it so that we're the Lord's purpose in our lives is that we be conformed more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his likeness? Well, is that just all going to be done with the buffing wheel? You know, the buffing wheel's soft, right? No, sometimes it's going to take the grinding wheel. Sometimes it's going to take the wire brush, right? Sometimes it's going to take some hard trial to knock the hard edges off. Hopeth maketh not ashamed, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Even though this world melts down, this world, just everything about this world goes wrong, our Lord cares for us and has promised to work in us and help us to his honor and his glory and his praise. I remind you now, I may need you to remind me later. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And so, this chapter starts off about being justified by faith. We have peace. Sounds like it goes now right on into growing, doesn't he? See, not just knowing some things and having the salvation of the Lord, but see, salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ is just not a stagnant event. I mean, it happens. The sinner is saved, but there's more after that. It's time to grow. Time to grow up. Verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Don't forget, we were without strength, and the Lord saved us. Shall we expect that we will have strength going forward? Not in and of ourselves, but in our Lord. I tell you what, now we do have strength, don't we? In our Lord. I still don't have strength in myself, but we do have it in our Lord. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Here's the love of the Lord told. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the apostle has dealt with this church, and boy, I tell you what, he's taking mankind, and he's just taking mankind and just run him down, hadn't he? Taking mankind and his works and his way and all that, and just run him down, right down there where he belongs. We were without strength. We don't have any strength. We don't have any ability. Our hope is in our Lord. And you know what? Even when we were down there, as low as we were, an enemy of God and a hater of God, he loved us so that he died for us. He sent his son to die for us. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was no promise, no recompense, no good addition to God that we were subject to make that said, you know what, I'm going to save Jim Duke because I think he can make me look better. No, the Lord has done nothing but help me. And for some reason, because he loved me. He loved you. He saved you. And Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I find that wording interesting. Much more than. You know, it's good to be justified. It's good to be justified. I tell you what, it's good to be saved from that wrath too, isn't it? Because our God's a consuming fire, the brother tells us in Hebrews. And when he's ready to tread the fierceness of the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty, I don't want to be in the winepress, do you? No, I mean, it's a dreadful, terrible place to be. But praise be to God, we are saved. We're in the house, not out there at the winepress of the wrath. You see that? We're in the house. We belong to him. We're his children. And we've been saved from wrath through him. We have no partaker in that. We may be there watching on, but we are not the object of his wrath anymore because of Christ. Christ bore the chastisement of my peace. Are you saved? Well, isn't that what Isaiah tells? He says, he bore the chastisement of our peace. And by his stripes we are healed. He took the whipping for the wrath of God for me. He took it. It didn't go, that wrath just wasn't, so okay, well, we're not going to do that wrath. No, that wrath got taken from Jim. It got taken from you, and it was put on Christ. The Lord doesn't let sin pass, does he? And he is the one that was able to pay the price. There had to be one that could pay the price. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. He says, look at this right. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Because he lives, I'll live. Because he lives, you that are here and saved, you'll live. We'll be saved by him. The Lord Jesus is alive, and he always claims his children. He's always claiming his children. He told the Father, I'm looking for them to be with me. They may behold my glory and they might be one together with us. Right? John 17. He always has expectations. What if the Lord Jesus Christ would quit being there anymore? Then the Redeemer's missing in action, right? We saw this morning. But he's always going to be there. He's always going to be claiming his children. He's always going to be knowing and having you, we that are saved, near and close. We'll be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. There's another word. Isn't that something? The salvation of the Lord, the great working of the Lord, it had required so many words to try to describe all the aspects of it. The atonement. Honestly, I don't know what all that word means. It's kind of like redemption, but not redemption. It's like an appeasement, right? An atoning, a paying for, to some extent. It's the atonement. We receive this through Christ. We embark upon some, a thought within a thought here. Let's read this in verse number 12. And we're going to skip from verse 13. I'm sorry, we're going to go from verse 12 down here to verse 18 and get that thought. And then we're going to come back and take a look at this clarification that's here contained within the parentheses, okay? Verse 12, wherefore, he said, here's the way that it is. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. One man sin entered, Adam brought sin. It's his disobedience to our Lord. And because of sin, just like God promised, he died. And not only did he die, but all of us died. Okay? We died spiritually, and then we began to die physically. We expect this baby to be delivered. Natalie, the baby she's carrying, is to be delivered. The child will be sweet and beautiful and great because he's my grandchild. It'll be nothing else, right? I mean, we just can't help ourselves. That's what we think. But the little tyke, he will be born, and he's heading towards death. It's just the way it is. That's what sin has done to us. As sweet and as precious as he'll be, and we love him even now, and we'll really be glad to hold him. He's a sinner, and he's dying. He's spiritually dead in and of himself, and physically, it's all working against him to die. It's just that way. That's what Adam did to us. That's what sin has done to us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death is a worldwide mankind thing, and because sin is a worldwide mankind thing, it's a death is also that way. Death and sin, they go hand in hand. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Right? Verse 23 of chapter 3, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We come down now to verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's all Adam did do and could do for us. He brought us into condemnation. And if we'd have been there, we'd have done the same thing. So we can't fault him and not accuse ourselves. We're without excuse. We're cut of the same cloth, if you will, right? Well, we got the same way. We can't. He did so, and it's true, but I would have done no different. Okay, I had no greater capacity than Adam to obey. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Adam brought sin to us all, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that brings salvation to all of his people. And the only one that brings salvation to mankind. You take a look at the list of saviors in the world, there's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the savior of the world. Now, there's kings of the world. You can list them. The Lord had prophets, right? True prophets. You can list them. You can have great warriors and generals of the world. You can list them. But over here on the Savior list, there's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So this thought goes on in verse number 19. Now let's go get this in the parentheses, okay? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, verse 12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world. Okay, so that happened when Adam sinned, right? But sin is not imputed when there is no law. It's not imputed in the world. It's not voiced. But there's an element here that it is not imputed, okay? Not brought out, not reckoned with when there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death told the story. Why are we dying? Everybody's dying. Well, it's because of sin. Well, what do you mean about sin? Well, the law came to make that very plain and very, very evident. Men knew they were dying. And we talked about the passage, the scripture talked about this earlier, about how men have an understanding of righteousness or what is right, even written by God in their own conscience. Okay? There's an understanding about right and wrong, even in amongst tribal people off in the far reaches of the world. They got an understanding about things. And the scripture talked about that. And the Lord says how he's going to judge according to the secrets of men, how it is natural for a man to say, well, this is right or wrong, until I need to do right or I need to do wrong to justify what I want to get accomplished. OK, he says, nevertheless, death reigned, and it was a showing that sin was at hand. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Okay, Adam, the first man, Moses, when the law was given by the Lord to Israel, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Not everybody. What did the Lord tell Adam? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. Okay, well, I didn't eat of it. I didn't sin like Adam did. But Adam's sin is that far reaching because it's the disobedience of God. It's a thing. Can we say it's a thing that got, it's even beyond the DNA. Adam disobeyed and put us all into sin. Now, where's that in you? Where's that in me? We call it the nature, okay? We call it our nature. And see, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So we got a couple things there. Not everybody ate of the tree, but our daddy ate of the tree and it did us in. Oh, that's just not fair. I've heard people say that. Well, that's just not fair. That's how bad sin is. You don't go disobeying God. Sin just doesn't affect you. Well, I'm going to do this, and you know, I'll just bear my own. No, you just don't. Sin like bitterness goes out and stretches out there and goes farther than you'd ever think it would go. And what was the big deal about eating of a tree? It wasn't like the fruit. The fruit was not poisonous. A woman looked at it and so it's pleasant to look at, and I imagine tasted pretty good. But God said, don't. God said, don't. And when the Lord said, don't, there was a thing that was in effect there that the Lord put in place, that even at the voice of the speaking of the word, the breathing of the Lord in that, Adam, thou shalt not eat of it. And when he ate of it, the thing that God had held together and what the Lord had blessed with and the innocence that he put Adam in, it fell apart and unraveled because that was in effect just like gravity is. You don't sin against God and it pass. To where now some 6,000 years later, we and this baby that we're expecting is born a sinner. We're sinners. And because of sin, death has reigned. Verse 13, For until the law was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam was the first man. And you know what? Praise God for the second Adam. We have life by the Lord's design through the first Adam, okay? Physically being here. We've got sin and death that came because of sin that is within us. But you know what? There's another Adam, and that is Jesus Christ, in whom we have eternal life and redemption and atonement and all those things that we see in the scriptures. And so he was a figure of that which was to come. Verse number 15. There's a bunch of negatives in here. We'll try to keep them straight. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, in the day thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And the rest of your kin, too. Okay? Through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, the favor of God, and the gift by that favor, by that grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Adam sinned, and it's killed many. Adam has sinned, and sin has been spread to many. But you know what? By the obedience of Christ, many of that many are saved and redeemed. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. As Adam brought death, the Lord Jesus Christ has brought life. As Adam has brought sin, introduced sin, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with sin. It goes on to say here, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Okay, so he's contrasting and then he's contrasting in both cases. But in some way, he's saying this is like, and then this is not like. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. That's what came down on us as the condemnation for our sin. Adam sinned, his children will sin. Sin brings death. That happened immediately, spiritually, ultimately, physically. It's passed on to children, and because of sin, in the case of all, there's the coming damnation because of sin. It's going to be dealt with. Remember how we said earlier that the Lord bore that? He bore that wrath? You know, the children of God are not partakers of wrath. We're not going to be destroyed with the wicked. We're not going to be destroyed, but nor are we going to be dealt with the wicked. Okay, that's the reason we believe and know that the scripture bears out that there's two judgments. Okay, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. With Adam, he sinned; it brought death. Brought condemnation because of sin as his children were born, and it comes all the way down to our time. There's sin, there's a death because of sin, and there's a condemnation because of sin. All these offenses, these sins against God, but the free gift of our Lord pays for them, takes care of it, and he answered it. He met the wrath and the condemnation on the cross. and we are freed indeed. We are made alive. Where our daddy brought us death, but our Heavenly Father through Christ has brought us life, redemption, and salvation, and atoning, and all those things. He goes here more to sum it up. Verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, so much more they which receive abundance of grace, favor from the Lord, the application of what Christ did and accomplished unto us, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." You know, how is it, Brother Mark pointed out about the holiness and the Pentecostals, you know, those that believe in a works salvation, you know, stemming from the Methodists and all that. You know, and praise be to God, according to his blessing and his grace towards us, he's enlightened us. He showed us some truth. And so here we look on it and we say, how can anybody even think that they could work to please God unto salvation? You know, now as children, we are called to please our Lord and to walk well with him. But to put it together, to say to God, here's my works and receive my holy living for the redemption, the salvation of my soul. That's not being honest with what goes on in the mind of the old man, is it? It's not being honest with the way we are in life, the way we are publicly, the way we are privately, and really knowing ourselves. You know, I mean, you know what you deal with and wrestle with about sin, don't you? Bad attitude, works of the flesh rising up, needing to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and there's a warfare about that, and the old man hates all. I mean, and we could think that we could put something together that God would like and receive? It took the Lord, didn't it? It took our Lord. And what a wondrous thing he has done for us. And the gift, there at the end of verse 17, "And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, my Savior. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus Christ, in that sense, our brother. We're in the same family, right? Are we not joint heirs? I wouldn't have saved me to adopt me. I just wouldn't have done it. But the Lord has. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Well, praise be to God. Therefore, verse 18, so this contrast between Adam and our Lord, offenses, sins, death because of sin, condemnation, and the Lord, what the Lord does, one man, the God-man, in justification, he does more than fix it. You see that? You know, he pays for the sins. And he takes care of the wrath, and he grants, it's able that forgiveness is given to us. But remember, justification is we're made as if the thing never happened. It's that good. It's that sealed. It's that rich and that right. And he's done that for us and made us to where it's just as if we've never sinned, right? Justification. Therefore, verse number 18, as by the offense of one judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. And it doesn't say all. It says many. And praise be to God. I'm praise the Lord. I'm thankful to him that he saved me. He saved me. And for those who are here not saved, we pray that our Lord will save you. And you need to hear the word of the Lord and what he says. You need to come to him in repentance and faith. Cry out unto him for mercy. Verse number 20. Moreover, in addition to all this, moreover, remember what it said here in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. It was there. It was evidenced by death. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. But then when the law comes up, then that's your transgression and that's your transgression. And nobody's sin or transgression gets mixed up on somebody else's account. It's all there and the Lord knows it all. Moreover, verse number 20, the law entered that the offense might abound. The Lord says, you really need to see. You really need to see things how I see things. See, that's what the sinner does is, oh, I've sinned against God. And this is an eternal thing. This is a serious thing. I've got no issue in life that's more serious than this. See what that illumination, when that illumination and that light begins to shine, the Lord starts giving understanding of the truth. The sinner starts saying, woe is me. I've got trouble. Because God sees my sin. He knows everything I've thought. He knows I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. I'm afraid. I've got no hope. I've got no help in and of myself. Mama can't help me. Daddy can't help me. Nobody can help me. Grandma, grandpa, nobody. I'm here before you, Lord. I'm here before you. And this is bad. I need help. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, oh, I knew it. Just like those fellows had said earlier, right? That critical thinking of men, that philosophy of men. Oh, well then, let the good times roll and let's just sin so grace can abound. What do we find in that? God forbid. No, it was bad that sin came along, but you know what? The Lord made a way to deal with it. But don't go sinning more. To think that the grace of God would be praised and abound more. I mean, when we do sin, there is forgiveness for the children of God. There's forgiveness for the sinner that'll come to the Lord in repentance and faith. But I tell you what, don't ever take up the blasphemous, devilish, terrible, wicked position that let's sin more so the grace of God will be shed abroad. That's presumptuous and blasphemous against God. But it is true. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It might be shown for what it is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The Lord was able. He had an answer for it all, didn't he? That as sin hath reigned unto death, sin reigned unto death, right? For as by one man's offense, verse 17, death reigned by one. Thou shalt surely die. And not just you, Adam, everybody. Everybody related to you. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, the favor, the unmerited favor, the favor of God, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgiveness by the Lord. Imputation of righteousness by the Lord. Imputation of sin and the wrath, the condemnation of that sin unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered it all because he loved me. He suffered it all because he loved you, you that are here and saved. He suffered because he loved us. He took care of it and made it to where we could be made, justified, made as if we had never sinned. So justification, we have this peace and we have this understanding about growth, right? And then we have understanding here about the love of the Lord. We're to grow and love in the Lord, to grow in the love of the Lord bestowed upon us, and how Christ died for us, saved us from wrath. We understand what Adam did for us, and we understand what Christ has done for us. And he's got a, you know, where Adam was made innocent. I love this. When the Lord showed me this, it was just a great blessing. It was another wow moment. The Lord made Adam innocent. But you know what? When our Lord redeems our bodies, and we have a body like Christ's, there can be mayhem and sin and wickedness going on all around us, and it can't touch us. Won't that be great? I mean, it won't come in. It won't come in. Not because we'll be hard-headed. We'll just have, we have the Lord, and there'll be the new man in Christ that'll reign. Okay? It'll be the new man with the new body that'll be ready to do anything that the Lord wants us to do at a moment. 24/7, all the time. Knees won't ache. Back won't hurt. Won't get tired. Won't need to get some caffeine, get a soda or some coffee to perk you up so you can make it. I mean, we'll be impervious to sin. Isn't that something? And that's, Adam was made innocent. And what the Lord did in creating Adam was wonderful. But what we have in Christ is eternal life by Him. So we'll see these things. In next chapter 6, what shall we say then? He's going to deal with this again, this false accusation about that has been laid at His feet.